the first Sunday morning of a new year. The good thing about that is a new year, and the bad thing about it is January, apparently, out there today. We hope it got off to a good start for you and yours, and we appreciate you sharing this Lord's Day morning with us in our class. We've done the Sunday before Christmas and the Sunday after, and today a little three-part series on our inward, outward, and now our upward lives, and being healthy and being alive in each of those three areas, and try to offer for ourselves some view of what that means. And what we did with the inward part, we used Matthew chapters 4 through 7, and with the outward part, we used Matthew chapter 18, and now with our upward part of this, we're going to use some of our daily Bible reading, just to remind you that that's going on, and then some of what we studied recently in our study of the church, some of the same passages to try to illustrate that this is what God means for us to be doing, for us to be walking with Him or knowing Him. We like to start with kind of catching up with each other, and we'll take a minute to do that. I think most of you heard Wednesday night that David and Debbie's little grandson Josiah had his surgery. It went okay. Is he still? You guys heard any more about how they're doing? Or they're still okay? Okay, good. Justin Reeves came to me just a minute ago and asked us to remember his dad in our prayer today. His dad was with him Wednesday night for our class, and then yesterday said his dad suffered a heart attack, and he's in hospital over at Poplar Bluff. He's had two stints, and then they'll be doing more testing today. And of course, Justin has the streets of Willard to take care of, and the weather, and then he said he may have to head over that way also. So I'm sorry I don't remember Justin's dad's name, but Mr. Reeves is needs to be in our prayers. We've enjoyed having Carrie and Justin with us a few days. They're headed back to the great state of Texas this afternoon, so we pray for their safe journey. You guys know, I think, maybe most of you have already heard that Jim Lowe passed away of his cancer night before last, well, really early yesterday morning. And Cheryl and them have planned the memorial service for the Veterans Cemetery on Tuesday morning at 11, and there'll be a visiting time for their family. I think is it 6 to 8 or 7 to 9?
Six to eight
at Greenlawn North tomorrow night. So everybody be aware of Cheryl and their family. They have three boys, and keep them in your prayers. Did you see the news also that Rachel Lilly is being dismissed from the rehab center in St. Louis, and Russ and Elizabeth are going to bring her back home and do the rehab at home? And remember, she still has the many, many issues to deal with, and this will be a major thing in their life, of course, as it already has been. So we want to remember the Lilly family. Randy, you just plan to lead our prayer in a minute for all these folks, if you will. Kay's dad's not doing well today. His color is not good, and he's weaker, so appreciate you remembering their family in prayer. Kenna and Ron are usually here in our class, and Kenna's mother is certainly very weak also, and I know that they'd appreciate being remembered in our prayer time. Everybody take note of the daily Bible reading that we're trying to do. I know Adam has worked on how maybe we can read it to you, and also we're trying to get organized. John, is this going to be doable? Can we come up with the blog spot that we're trying to do?
We're still working on it. All right, I think we can make it happen.
All right, what we're going to try to do is to have the we'll read it, and then we're going to have a way of sharing our responses to our reading. We'll put some devotional thoughts on there as we go along, not necessarily every single day, but several times a week, and that will be a way of fellowship as we work through the Lord's Word this year. So be planning on that. Okay, Johnny?
We had an email this morning. So
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah,
you check your email if you haven't yet. Okay. And if you don't do email too much, you can check the website that John works on for us, and you'll kind of see where we're headed with it. Maybe anyone else with a prayer need today, or a word of resolution about 2015, anything like that? Okay, anybody? All right, we're glad to be together. Randy, if you would lead us in our prayer time, we get started.
Dear Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for this new day and this new year. We're so thankful for the many blessings of last year. And may you continue to bless us as we strive to live according to your will. Help us, Lord, to reach out to those of our number who are dealing with health issues. We want to remember Justin Reeves' dad this morning and his recent heart attack. Be with those that are treating him. Be with that family. We ask thee also to be with the Lilly family and be with Rachel as she continues her rehab. And may things go smoothly and may she continue to improve. We also want to remember Kay's dad and his health situation, and give him strength and courage. Give Kay and Bill and the family the strength and comfort that they need. We also ask you to be with Kenna's mom, Kenna, and maybe you give them comfort and strength also. We want to also remember Cheryl Lowe and the family and their loss. Help them in this time. We want to also remember all those that we failed to mention this morning, Lord, that are dealing with health concerns or even spiritual concerns, Lord. If they're weak, may you strengthen them. May we all look to you for our strength and comfort in our time of need. We ask thee, Lord, to open our hearts and minds today as we study your word. May we learn more about you and about your will for us. We're so thankful for each one here at this congregation, Lord, and their desire to know you and to serve you. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Randy. Randy mentioned in the prayer just now that we've prayed the desire to know the Lord and to serve him. And that's sort of the starting point for what we're going to think about this morning. I think that one of the challenges we have in thinking about this topic is that we fear that unless the Bible uses exactly the word relationship with God, that it's not talking about relationship with God. And I want to call our attention to the fact that this, the idea that a huge part of being a human being, a whole and a healthy human being, is relating our lives properly to the God in whose image we are made. The concept of relationship with God is based on the idea that both God and we human beings are personal beings. That, and by that I don't mean that somehow I'm going to seek out my own secret personal God and my own personal personally manufactured relationship with the God that I have already personally designed for myself on a basis which I personally have selected out of a wide range of options. I'm talking about the fact that that God is a He instead of an it. That He is a person instead of a thing. And that you and I are also personal beings. That is, we have self-awareness. We have the power of imagination. We are able to make choices. We can reason. We can empathize. We can feel for each other. We can understand. We can communicate. All of those things are what we mean by being persons. And the ways in which persons contact or connect with each other and interact with each other and influence each other is called relationship. Now, in Scripture, just in our daily Bible reading, notice the way in which Scripture sort of sets the framework for understanding its message. We find in the Old Testament very much the sort of the conflict between hiding or the understanding of this challenge in relating to God between hiding and walking with Him. There is a stress drawn between these two things, hiding and fearing on the one hand and walking with Him on the other. Did you notice in your Bible reading this week this idea? Look at Genesis 3 and verses 8 and 10 to start with. This is in the wake of sin's interest into the entrance into the world. Genesis 3, verses 8 and 10. This is both the man and the woman have now disobeyed God, and look at what happened. Verse 8. Somebody read for us if you are so inclined. Barney, read for us.
8 and 10?
Yes.
And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.
All right, now on the one hand, we can wonder about the details in this reading that we're not in a position to know everything about. But there is something here, though, that is obvious, and that is that when there's something lovely to me about the picture, the sound of the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, as if He comes for peaceful, joyful fellowship with the beings made in His image. They, however, now are dealing with the alienation and the guilt introduced into human experience by their own disobedience or their own sin against God. So there is hiding and fear. That is the best definition I can think of a sense of alienation. Hiding and fear. Now, on the other hand, look over at Genesis 5 in verse 24. And this must have been different enough in a man for it to be noted by the writer. This is where we meet Enoch, and we find Enoch also in Genesis 11 in the New Testament. But what are we told here about Enoch?
Walked with God.
All right, Enoch walked with God. That's a beautiful way of just. So, what do you think that means? He was not, for God took him, which was another way of saying he kept on walking with God. The fellowship was so close that simply he was with God in life and then with God afterward as well. The idea of walking with God means, for one thing, obviously heading the same direction. For another thing, there being a common sense of value, a sense of freedom from the guilt and alienation that we read about before, being at home with each other, that type of thing. Now, In the New Testament, there is the same point of stress in a different way, and I'll describe it this way: the ignorance versus knowing. And out of a number of passages we could use, look in Colossians for the illustration of this thought here. In Colossians chapter 2, to start with, Colossians chapter 1, at verses, let's just do 21 to start with, 1:21 of Colossians. Not everybody at once.
And although you at one time were estranged and alienated from him, were a hostile attitude of mind in your wicked activities.
All right. At one time, you, these members of the church at Colossae, you were alienated and hostile in mind. The alienation here is the spiritual condition. Hostile in mind is the attitude in life. Doing evil deeds is the lifestyle. So in way of life, in way of thinking, and in settled state, they're separated from God. And in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, it talks about people being darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart, Ephesians 4 and verse 18. Now, look, on the other hand, at Colossians 1, verses 9 and 10, and the same people here, only now looked at from the perspective of having heard the gospel and been obedient to it and living in Christ. And notice that Paul mentions an idea twice here, verse 9 and verse 10. There is an order of thinking here that I think is fascinating and like you to consider. Verse 9 and 10. John, would you read for us?
And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God.
Now please notice the thought in verse 9 is being filled with the knowledge of His will. My observation is that often when we talk about studying or knowing about God, what we're talking about is the knowledge of His will. And that's something that Paul is praying for. It's crucial. But notice in verse 10 that as they walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, they are doing what?
Increasing in knowledge.
Increasing in what kind of knowledge? And knowledge of what?
God.
Who?
Of God.
Of God. Now, notice that we start out here being filled with the knowledge of His will. And walking with Him, seeking to please Him, serving Him, bearing fruit in Him, you increase in the knowledge of God. In the one case, you're looking at what the person wants. You're knowing what the person wants or what the person asks of you or tells you to do. In the other case, you are knowing, you're getting to know something of the person who would want or who would ask you to do those particular things. Does that make sense? Does that seem off the track to you? This is not different from, in one way of looking at it, from how we relate to each other. How do you come to know a person here? You have to know whether I like chocolate cake or white cake. You have to know whether I root for the Cardinals or for some lesser team. You have to know something eventually of where I've come from and what's happened to me in my life. You have to know who I love and what my hopes and dreams are and so forth. You have to know what I think is right and what I think is wrong. Don't you? Now, the idea that Paul is stressing here, it seems to me, is that this has always been the human quest, and also the will of God. God wants people who've been hiding from Him to be able to walk with Him, and He wants people who've been ignorant of Him, His will and of His ways, to know His will, so as to know His ways. And that is sort of what we mean by ordering our Godward relationship. Now, the message of the New Testament, we noted a passage in our recent study about the church from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So I'd like everybody to turn back to 2 Corinthians 5 for just a second. In verses 18 through 21. Notice the focus on the thought of reconciliation. Now, someone explained the meaning, the concept, and the word reconcile or reconciliation.
Bring back together.
All right, bring back together. So, reconcile or reconciliation is a relationship word, and it means that there is the bridge building or the bringing back together of those who have been alienated from each other, and one of the parties who have been alienated from each other or estranged from each other in one way or another. Now, note the concept of relationship is used by the apostle in this passage to illustrate the work of the gospel, what God has worked for us through the gospel. Let's actually start with verse 17. And let me read this passage here so I won't interrupt the other reader. Verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, so we're talking about what God has worked for us through the gospel here. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. There is some discussion as to which is the best way to translate that. Either way is the same thought, though. God has made something new. Now, in what sense has He made it new? The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. So who were the estranged parties before? Whoever us is and God. Us and God. So there has been a reconciling. The parties have been brought together. And who has accomplished the reconciling?
God.
Who did it? All right. God has. All right. Now he says all this from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Now, how is reconciliation accomplished by God? What does God do that reconciles two estranged parties?
He forgives.
God does something so that it will not be necessary to count against those who are estranged from him their trespasses. And he makes what he has done into the content of a message of reconciliation, which he entrusts to us. Paul is talking about the apostles and then by extension the rest of God's people. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be no sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Verse 21 tells what God did so that he could not count against man or us our trespasses. And verse 20 talks about what happens when the gospel is preached and when people are implored or appealed to be reconciled to God. Now, all this means that there's been alienation. God has loved steadfastly and has worked to accomplish reconciliation. And now, in Christ, there is the new relationship. If we're reading this right, and I think we are, every time we pray and we say, "Our Heavenly Father," we are making use of this reconciliation which has been accomplished by God in Christ. When we say that we're the people of God in Christ, or that we are children in the household of God, we're saying the same thing. Now, what that means is that Christian living becomes about developing call it reconciliation, if you will, or living that relationship with God which has been created in Christ Jesus. Now, that is the part of this that we're really talking about today, and yet it doesn't mean anything unless we lay the foundation that we've laid. And the relationship with God that we're talking about involves the same thing that relating to any other person does, that we talked about getting to know and getting to understand, beginning to appreciate, respect, and then relating to. And yet, it has to take into account two factors. That one is that God is holy, meaning what?
Without sin.
All right, he's without sin. He is certainly separate and apart from any ungodliness, which is opposite his nature. We say sometimes that he is other. That is, his ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways and thoughts are higher than our thoughts, from Isaiah 55, if you remember. He is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity, that sort of thing. Every time we see people or other persons in His presence in Scripture, they're falling on their faces and all of that. And yet here we are talking about relating to that kind of God. And then on the other hand, maybe to go with this, there is the idea that God is invisible. And that makes this, it's not like me looking at Him in the face here and noticing His facial expression and His body language and all that kind of thing and talking with Him. But think about this. Any of you carry on ever any kind of relationship with someone you can't really see? John is carrying on exactly that same kind of relationship with his own wife right now. She's in China. And yet, he's trying to keep the house clean enough to please her. You know,
she can't see.
Okay, she can't see. As opposed to God, Michelle can't see. Okay. At least so John thinks. That means that we recognize in talking about this that our relating to God then must be in response to both what he has made known of himself in his word. And what he's done to make it possible for us to relate to him. So his word and his work. Our relating to God is in response to God wants us to respond to. All right, here's a situation with our relationship. Whoever does the cooking in your household works hours and hours, makes the delicious holiday meal, gathers everybody around the table, sets the best dishes, the most colorful presentation of the food, all of that. Everybody sits down, eats the meal, gets up and walks off. There's absolutely no response from anybody. What happens?
You get mad.
All right. That's in one form or another, that's right. Now, what may happen is McDonald's for the next holiday meal or some sort of thing like that. But the point is, one part of the married relationship says to the other, I love you. And the other one doesn't respond at all. There is, at the very least, a little sense of that's not exactly what I was expecting here. You know, that sort of thing. A friend sends a note and checks in on someone. My old friend Rue Douglas, who's upper 80s now, writes to me from Los Angeles and signs his big long reports, Mr. D, the voice of the city. And and I think he's expecting me to respond to that in some way or another. That's friendship. Now, if we spend our time studying the revealed will of God without thinking that somehow or another He means for us to respond to that in love and devotion to Him, then we're missing the message, you see. So the question is, how do we go about in Christian living building that healthy, whole, growing relationship with God that there needs to be? And as usual, I've saved everything I meant to say for the last 3 minutes here. So let me do this a little more quickly. Here are here are five aspects of build of a Godward relationship that, that needs to go on. One is acquaintance. Don't leave me yet if you don't have to, okay? Acquaintance, meaning that while I'm reading the Lord's Word, I'm looking for who is this God? And what is He like? And how does He think? And if I can grasp any of His, begin to see His wisdom, any of this, why did He do what He did this way? That's a part of this. Being impressed by what God has done and being attracted to it. Then there is drawing near to Him. And this, you think about how Jesus went out early in the morning to pray. I think that's part of what I'm talking about. But this more is seeking His will, or wanting His approval, or desiring His blessing, wanting to, you know, actively wanting to walk with Him like Enoch did. And then there is the companionship idea. I'm not talking now about the I come to the garden alone idea as much, that old song, as I am the idea that, for example, today, I want to be with the Lord's people, communing with Him. We talk about communion, but that involves communing. Walking with Him in fellowship, listening to what He says in His Word, and speaking to Him in prayer, and serving Him if I can, trying to live right. That's the idea of companionship. And we treasure this, the thought that I'll never fail you, I won't forsake you, I won't forsake you, I won't leave you, without realizing this is what He's saying. And then gradually becoming like Him. Now, I'm not trying to blaspheme here in some sense. I know that none of us are God. And I know that there are the so-called intransitive attributes of God, His power, His omniscience, His omnipresence, and so forth. We're not like God in those ways. But the transitive attributes of God, which are love and mercy and righteousness and justice and so forth, those kinds of things, we want to share His desires and His purposes and character, or Peter's word, we want to be partakers of the divine nature. And that's a big part of this, becoming like Him, and then finally being at home in His presence. I remember when I first went to church, it was a strange thing to me, even though I was just a kid. And the thing I did is try to seek out Barney, somebody I knew, so that it wouldn't be so strange to me. And gradually over time, I seemed out of place back then, like a fish out of water. I would have been fishing probably otherwise. Now then, being with the Lord's people is the normal way of life. I couldn't imagine it otherwise. And then the ideas, I used to hear old preachers say, heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. That's really what we're talking about. Why does God want us to live in a certain way to be like Him now? So that we can be at home with Him, when that time comes. You see, in a certain way, every Lord's Day morning is a preparation for living the rest of the week, with the Lord in that way. So, okay, Ruth?
Will we get past the fear of God? I'm thinking of like Peter there on Transfiguration. There was a fear there of God, even though Peter was very close to Jesus.
Well, every picture in Revelation shows the reverence for God, but not the guilty fear of hiding. The reverence, the godly fear at His greatness and goodness and holiness is different from the estranged fear that hides from God. I think Peter was afraid, but Peter also said, let's build 3 tabernacles so we can stay here. See? So it's a thing like that. Well, appreciate you guys being with us today. I know you can't wait to get back out there at it. And so I hope we can encourage each other over these next few minutes. Work up our courage and face the wind after a while. Everybody have a good week.